friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
So today at 10 a.m., tickets are on sale right now at rocketarena.com. It's all from Live Nation and Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Anyway, so we will have press conferences then from Kevin Stefanski. We are hoping for Quinshon Judkins in this hour. And, of course, we will do two keys and a lock here in a second. Just quickly recapping what we just had with Tim May. I think that he made it sound like, and I believe that it's true, that the Buckeyes will have a little bit of a tougher game this week than they had last week. I don't know if they're going to lose, but they will have a better game. Because, I mean, look, let's face it. You know, if you're Ohio University, the reason you don't win these games is because of attrition. And that happens all the time. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this where their starters come out. They're always, you know, pretty good. And they can hang, especially, you know, if they're guys from Ohio that, again, want to prove a point. And then all of a sudden, just as once you start getting in the second half, you're like, man, that was a 21-7 game, or that was a 21-10 game at halftime. And I was worried there for a second. And then boom, Ohio State has the afterburners. And you know what? As the number one team in the country, they better have afterburners.
Just
in a game
waves
like that.
Of depth. I mean, that's the only way you could describe it, is just waves upon waves of depth. I mean, that's always what blows me away when you see these, because you're right. These are the kind of games that are close at halftime. And the casual, you know, the newer fans, the fans that don't totally pay attention to this are always like, oh boy, this is a little bit closer. It's, you know, 10-7 at the half. It's 14-7 at the half. I don't know. And you're like, give it time. Give it time. Because Ohio State just has so much more waves of talent than Ohio University does.
Hmm.
You know, it's one of those, it's cool to see. It's cool to see the MAC show up. It's cool to see the Mac go up against these. It's great for the Mac schools to get the exposure and all of this stuff. But yeah, this might get ugly.
All right, my friend. All right, so what are we looking at time wise here? Because I know it's just me and you today. Jeff's not in. So we're Kevin Stefanski close, or what do you think here?
Well, we're working to find that one out. Practice coming to an end. We're still waiting to find out what's happening here. Keep it locked in right here on your home of the Browns, 92.3 The Fan. All between there, because Sports Talk on 93.3 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. It's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So we should have Kevin Stefanski coming from the podium shortly, followed hopefully by player availability. Then we will see who comes to the podium. Friday, typically a Myles Garrett day, so you'll probably hear from Myles Garrett at some point on our station.
Probably happen at afternoon show, yeah.
Yeah, along the way as well.
All right, let me give you one more Ohio tidbit here for Bobcat fans that are looking for the upset tomorrow. You want to guess how long it's been since Ohio State lost to an in-state school? In-state school. No.
I'll say,
if you get this right, I'll be shocked.
The way that you're giggling makes me want to say like 125 years.
Not too far off. 104.
Okay.
The last time an Ohio State football team lost to an Ohio school goes back 104 years. Oberlin.
Good old Oberlin.
Oberlin College Yeoman. The Fighting Yeoman beat Ohio State 7-6. Even the Buckeyes defense showed up that day. They only allowed one touchdown. 1921.
Wow. 1921. I don't even know if there's archival footage of that. My heavens, that's you know, that's kind of cool.
There's carvings on stone tablets of that game
somewhere.
The extra point
somewhere
that Ohio State missed. No, I'm sure they had two field
goals. And one man sitting there going, "I was there for that, and they were soft back then. This is soft football."
I kept saying, "Get Woody in here." I don't know how old was Woody 104 years ago.
They're soft.
Now I got to look this up. Yeah, they were like, "Oh, we got to get Woody." Woody was one during that game. He was born. He was born in 1913.
Probably still yelling at somebody though. Sideline.
All right, let's do while we have time here before we get to this press conference. You want to do two keys and a lock? We got time for that? I think we do. All right, Anthony Alant, are you ready to play two keys and a lock?
I'm ready.
Dan, are you ready?
Let's go, baby.
Anthony, I'll give you the honor of going first today. Go ahead, Anthony. What do you get? Give me key number one.
Key number one, I need to see the secondary, including the trash-talking Grant Delpit, shut down those receivers. They got a lot of options, not just Mark Andrews. That is a deep receiving core.
Dan Madigan, key number one.
Miles Garrett needs to win his battle against Ronnie Stanley. You're going to watch one of the best defensive ends go up against one of the best left tackles in football. If Miles Garrett wins that battle, that offensive line crumbles and Lamar is running and all over the place. Key number one, Miles Garrett beat Ronnie Stanley.
Key number one for me, ball control offense. Ball control offense. I'll take a three-drive half. I'll take a four-drive half. For the Browns, hang on to the football. There's no need to have the big strike. There just isn't. They don't need to do that because if they get into a shootout, I think they're in big trouble. I know I talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but they have got to keep Baltimore in the 20s to even have a chance in this game. They must keep Baltimore in the 20s to have a chance in this game. So I'll go key number one, ball control offense. Let's have as many 9, 10, up to 15 play drives as they possibly could have. On Sunday, let's make that happen. Ready? Here we go. Let's turn the page. We go to key number two. Dan Menigan, you get to go first this time.
Key number two is the exact opposite of what you just said.
Yeah, it's because you're wrong.
Yeah, no, it's because you're wrong.
You're wrong.
And you're stupid looking while being wrong.
Wrong. Go.
Explosive plays help to ignite a fire under your defense as well. When you get that 50-yard completion, when you get that 30-yard completion, or that long run that just breaks the soul of an opponent's defense, it wakes up your defense on top of it. Key number two, find some explosives, because, boy, this offense could use them.
Anthony, if you want to win the favor of the host of this show, all you have to do is agree with me. What is your key number two?
Key number two is make your damn kicks.
Oh.
I don't care if it's explosive, if it's not explosive. I don't care. Just win the game.
But make it cut you off. We now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Great team, well coached, good players up and down the roster. So have to play good football to go on the road and get a win. So that's our focus. With that, I'll take any questions.
Do you expect Quinshon to play? And if whether or not he does, what have you seen out of him this week in practice to make you feel confident that that's a distinct possibility?
We'll work through that, Chris, over the next 24 hours. I'd say he has done a nice job. He's done everything we've asked him to do up to this point.
So you mentioned that he came back, that he was in really good shape. Did that bear out this week in practice? It did.
As you know, Mary Kay, there's football shape, and once you get in pads and get hit a little bit, that's different than working out prior. So, but I do think he's in good shape. I thought he did a nice job with this week.
With that decision, Kevin, how much of it is the mental part of it that he's going to be able to handle whatever you need him to do on Sunday?
I mean, he was with us all spring, smart kid. So he's picking it up quickly.
Give your running game.
Need to see Mary Kay. Need to get through next 24 hours, but obviously he's a player that we think highly of. But we'll see how it goes.
Do you feel like the problems up front have been corrected? Do you feel really confident about how that might look this week?
Well, obviously, you know, we're one game in, so you don't want to we know we have to be better in the run game department, and that is everybody. That's players, coaches, the quarterback getting us into the right play, and then everybody executing, and the receivers blocking on the perimeter. So it's really a all hands on deck type of thing when you're talking about having success in the run game. But we'll see. Yeah, he's done a really nice job. We were planning on having him not practice today, so he's on schedule, doing everything, and progressing nicely.
The elbow that has a questionable
elbow. 50-50.
The week, or was that also the game?
I'm sorry, one more time.
Sorry, was Jack's elbow injury, was that during the game as well, or was that during the week?
Yeah.
Have talked a little bit this week, maybe trying to get their own game faces on or whatnot. I don't know if you saw it, you know, Jerry Jeudy said no challenges about their secondary, and Grant said not hard about taking down Derrick Henry. Just wondering about your thoughts on some of those comments coming.
Yeah, it's how you play on the field. We know that. Everybody knows that. That's what's most important. So we got to play good football as a team.
Where you guys lost last week, Kevin, what did you see from the guys this week as far as attitude and resilience to see that they're going to be ready to go?
Yeah, it's football. You have to move on, win, lose, or draw. So we moved on Monday. Obviously, it's another division opponent, great football team. So we know what your focus has to be for a week like this.
A lot has been made about the 30th anniversary celebration going on. What do you kind of make of that? And do you have a message that you reverberated to the team, kind of giving them the
history? Yeah, we talked about this on Wednesday. Our team is very aware of the rich history of the Cleveland Browns. I make sure to educate our guys on the people that have come before them, the Giants that have come before them. So we're well aware of that. This game will be based on who plays the best on Sunday.
Popped up on that injury report this week with the knee. Is that during the game, and is that the knee that he had surgery on?
Yes, that was during the week.
Trying to mimic the speed shiftiness of Lamar in practice this week. Who kind of took on that role?
We rotated guys in there, but like we talked about that earlier, it's hard. You can't mimic that. You can give guys a different look and that type of thing, but it's hard to mimic.
Running backs, receivers out there are just
historically, trying. We've rotated guys in. Yes.
What was the best Baltimore story this week?
Honestly, I didn't get much into it. I understand that that's a unique situation, and for Joe and for the fans of their team and that type of thing. But he's very, very well aware that he's got a job to do. And in order to do your job, you really have to put yourself in the mindset of, I got the blinders on, I'm going to do what's in front of me, and anything else will have to wait for much, much later.
Kevin, you were around Minnesota when Brett went back to Green Bay. Obviously, circumstances are significantly different,
yeah,
those two. But what do you remember Brett that week? I mean, yeah. And how much do you see some of that in Joe?
Circumstances are so different. I would say, Chris, like first and foremost, that was a very electric couple games in the division. I totally recognize this, how unique this is. But knowing Joe, I know how I've seen him go about his business in a professional way that you would expect from Joe.
Did Andre get to meet nicely, and do you feel really good about him going into this game?
I do, Mary Kay. He did a nice job on Wednesday, did a nice job today. We put those guys in some very competitive moments every week, and he came through. Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, there you have it. Kevin Stefanski with his press conference today. We'll talk about what he had to say. Jack Conklin, the elbow injury happened during practice, and then he did answer a couple of questions about Quinshon Judkins, who we're also hoping to hear from within this hour. We'll come back. We'll finish up 2 Keys in a Wrap. We're also going to get up to speed with you at the bottom of the hour when we play Quick Predicts, where you give us the score of Sunday's game and Monday's headline. That's all.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Presented by Paramount Plus, Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries, yet forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We just heard Kevin Stefanski's press conference. If Quinshon Judkins happens to step up to the podium, we're going to take that press conference live. Also, want to remind you, in about 14 minutes, we are going to do Quick Predicts. That is your opportunity to tell us the score of the Browns-Ravens game coming up on Sunday, and then you will give us Monday morning's headline immediately following. 216-474-0092. It is the original, original only to How Come Quickies, I'll be honest with you. We always bow down to the godfather of rapid fire of caller participation within the show, right? We will always bow down to that, right?
Let's take two more.
Yes, we will. So that's how we feel about it, and that's what we will do. At the end of the show, we will, rather than Why Am I Smarter, we ask you for quick predicts. That's coming up at the end. What did you get out of the Kevin Stefanski press conference? Dan Menigan filling in for Jeff Phelps today.
Big thing out of the Kevin Stefanski press conference is Mike Hall is out for this game. He had been practicing for a little bit. It seems like he's not going to be able to go for this one. Jack Conklin is questionable with an elbow injury. It is not the eye that is the issue. It is the elbow that is now an issue. It's an injury Kevin Stefanski said crept up in practice this week, which is mildly concerning. And then Quinshon Judkins questionable to play as well on Sunday if they could get him up to speed in time. Those are the big things that stood out to me. And once again, him hammering home, hey, I've talked to the guys about the history of this team. This is going to be solved by who wins a football game on the field.
He does not care about the 30th anniversary. Not at all. Not one iota. And he hopes that his players know about it. Basically.
Is that not what you want to hear from your football coach?
No, yes and no. I need him to know that the players understand that they're there for a reason. They've got to play a game. It's a business for those guys. But they also need to understand that the reason it's a business is because the fans make it a business. With no fans, there is no business. And let's not forget that ever, because that's what drives all of it. It's all entertainment at the end of the day, isn't it?
It is. It's very much entertainment.
So, all right, so we were rudely interrupted by Kevin, and I can't believe someone's going to have to talk to Kevin about having press conferences in the middle of two keys and a lock.
We did. We actually have a quote directly from Kevin Stefanski on it.
We'll get it fixed.
That's pretty much all we can.
All right, good. As long as he fixes it, we're good. All right, so Anthony, you back there still? You still listening to us?
I'm back here.
Okay. Oh,
did he leave?
There was a pregnant pause there that made me think, oh boy, maybe
he's not
ready.
Threw his hands in the air and said, to hell with the two. I'm going home. This is silly.
Anthony, can't go home yet.
Well, let's do this real quick. You got through two keys, didn't you, Dan?
Yes.
Okay. Anthony, you got through like a key and a half, right?
I got through my two keys.
You did? All right. I didn't touch my second key. So let's do this. Let's spark up the band for key number two. This is key number two. And Dan, quickly give me your key number one and key number two quickly.
Key number one for me is winning the battle between Myles Garrett and Ronnie Stanley, one of the best left tackles in football, going up against one of the best defensive ends in football. That's going to be a fun one to watch. Myles Garrett needs to win that battle. That's key number one for me. Key number two, find explosive plays. It'll spark your offense. It'll also spark your defense.
Anthony, key number one, key number two.
I already gave my key number two.
That was last segment, bro. We're trying to get people back up to speed.
Got you. My key number two is make your kicks.
So hang on, Anthony. Let's go back and play radio for a second. Not everyone was listening before the press conference, so we want to make sure that they know what's up to speed. We want to make sure that they are in. There's nothing worse than an inside joke and people don't understand our inside information. Okay, now that you've learned more about radio in 30 seconds than you did in 4 years at Syracuse, let's move forward. Key number one, key number two. You know I'm kidding you about Syracuse stuff. Key number one, key number two.
Key number one, make your kicks. Key number two, stop the have a good game from the secondary.
Fair enough. All right. That is New York State wisdom for you there from Syracuse. I love every second of it. My key number one was ball control, because Dan and I completely disagree on what the game plan should be. Man, I want 10, 11 play drives from the Browns every time they get out there. Keep Baltimore's offense off the field. And the best way to do that, long, sustained drives, 4 to 5 yard pickups on every play, and let's just eat the clock the entire game. My second key, which we didn't get to in the first time, so this is key number two for me for the first time for you, 37 yards, 6 targets, and 3 receptions. Whose stat line was that week number one? That was David Njoku. And for the Browns to be effective in a ground control offense.
Andy, I hate to cut you off.
Oh, you got
to
be kidding me. They've got to get David Njoku the ball.
For Browns running back, Quinshon Judkins.
It's a great feeling just to be back with all of my teammates, back in the building, focus on football, back in Cleveland to help the team win.
Quinchon, obviously, like, this is the first time we've seen you since June and obviously the arrest. I know that prosecutors declined to formally charge you, but do you have any comment on the whole situation and everything that happened?
Yeah, I don't mean about the situation, you know. Glad that the prosecutors, you know, closed the case and didn't file any charges, and I'm appreciative of that. But, you know, like I said, just happy to be back in Cleveland, you know, with my teammates and here to go accomplish my goal.
And do you think that you'll be ready to, obviously, this is a question with a play, do you think you'll be ready to go on Sunday?
You know, I'm taking it day by day right now. Just focus in the playbook and just focus.
What was the meeting like in New York with the NFL, and do you have any worries about being suspended going forward?
You know, I can't control that. I think, you know, what I can do is just go out on the field and just be able to help my teammates and, you know, prepare each and every day for it.
Why do you feel like you have to re-earn the trust of people because of the arrest, because of the legal process, the legal thing, issues you had to go through?
No, you know, my teammates, my coaches, everybody here, they know who I am. They drafted me here. You know, the impact that I've had on the team since I first got here, you know. Back and focused, ready to take on a challenge.
Do you have any regrets from that situation?
I would say, you know, you learn different things, and, you know, you see how important the people that are around you are, like your family, your inner circle, people that support you when you go through things like that. But like I said, I made it through that, and I'm happy to be back.
What would you say to fans that, you know, might wonder, even though you've been given a charge, you might wonder about you as a person, as a human being, about your character? What can you say that?
Say more so the people that are around me, you know, my teammates, my family, people that I impact, you know, always been who I am, and, you know, I can't be anybody that I'm not. So I say just control what I control and be myself.
Once the legal situation got resolved, why did it take so long for you to get here? Do you feel like, you know, the fact that you weren't able to play week one, does that bother you?
I think as a competitor, I would say, you know, not being able to compete. That's one of the most things that I looked at. But, you know, here now, just looking forward and ready to go out there and, you know, compete when I'm ready.
Quinchon, in your time away from the team, what were you able to do to try to keep yourself ready to go and be back here for this moment?
The same thing that I would have been doing close to it if I was here. Just training, staying focused, a lot of working out, you know, in my playbook. In my past and different things of that nature, so just focus.
Did the NFL give you any idea of what the time frame is or what the next steps are when you there on Wednesday?
I didn't, when I was there, you know, like I said, it's nothing I can control or anything like that. I think for myself, it's just making sure I'm prepared when time is there.
Quinchon, what has the message been from Kevin, from AB, like, since you've been back? And I guess for you, just the fact that they are giving you a second chance here, like, what does that mean for you?
Like I said, I think, you know, everybody here has already known who I am. So I don't think it was any second questions or anything of that nature, especially like I said, with everything being closed and with the decision of the prosecutor and all. But, you know, just for me to be back here and with my teammates, everybody that I love, and see their emotions and how happy they were when I was back in the building, it's fun.
Along those lines, it's a tough way for you to start your rookie season in the NFL. Do you feel a real sense of relief that a lot of this is behind you now?
Definitely, I would say, you know, just back to playing football and focused, happy to be here and, you know, start off with a great start.
I know you said you're day by day as far as when you'll be ready to go, but how did you feel in practice these last 2 days, physically and mentally, about if they ask you to play Sunday, you'll be ready?
I feel good. You know, like I said, just still taking it day by day in the playbook, learning everything I need to know in case I have to go out there and play.
Situation just in terms of, I mean, you're young, I know this has been stressful. How do you feel like you are, I guess, mentally right now to be here trying to just focus on football when this has been a month?
Yeah, I would say more so. That's why I'm very happy. I'm closer in the circle, you know, my family, the support of everyone that's been around me this whole time. And, you know, like I said, so it's mentally staying sharp and focused. So when the time is ready, I'm ready to go.
Quinchon, were you ever at any point in the process concerned that maybe you couldn't be here?
I would say I wasn't focusing or like thinking of it that way. I'm just trying to think positive. You know, continue to do what I do and, you know, get better as a player, as a competitor, and focus on what I can control.
Quinchon,
during the your time away, were there people within the organization, teammates, coaches, players, front office that you stayed in contact with, I mean, even after the arrest?
Like I said, I was just more so just focused on improving off on the field and, you know, ready when the time was there.
I know you worked out with Isaiah Bond in the pre-draft process, I believe that it was. Have you guys, you know, and he went through some similar issues. Have you guys been sort of a support to each other in everything that you've been through?
I think, you know, like I said, for me to be back in the locker room with all of my teammates, get to see their expressions of how happy they were that I was back here in Cleveland, and, you know, back to playing football and just spend a lot of time with them, getting the playbook and be around those guys all day.
Richard, if it's Sunday or next week, whatever it is, what kind of impact do you think you can have on this offense and this running game in particular when you get back out?
You know, I think me as a competitor, as a player, you want to go out there and do your best every single day you step on the field. So if I have to play, I'm going to give them all.
When you watched Dylan play on Sunday, did you have visions in your head of what you guys can do as a sort of a 1-2 combination here?
I looked at our whole running back room as a whole, what Jerome did, look at Rocket and Dylan as well, and all those guys went out there and, you know, did their best on the field. I'm proud of each and every one of them. Appreciate it.
There you have it. Quinshon Judkins, his first press conference after he signed his contract, after he's all set to hopefully play on Sunday. And he, you know, he's just hoping that the cards work out correctly, that he'll have the opportunity to step on the field on Sunday when the Browns take on the Ravens, a game you'll be able to hear right here on 92.3 The Fan. We're going to come back or take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll do quick predicts. We'll talk a little bit more about Quinshon Judkins. We'll also give you our lock for the game, too. So all that straight ahead. Right here, 92.3 The Fan. Again, quick predicts, 216-474-0092. Tell us the score of the Browns-Ravens game and give us Monday morning's headline. Hey, look.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.